Our children can be dismissed for their time in the Word, kindergarten and younger. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Appreciate that offertory. And I'd like us to have a special prayer for our country right now. Such a key time. And let's call on the Lord. Father in heaven, your Son taught us to pray, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that even now for our country, that you would cause your fame, your honor to come in our country. You know all about what's happening. We pray that you will move in the hearts of people, that there will be a great turning to you, a spiritual awakening, humbling before you, God Almighty. We thank you for our leaders. We pray for them as they rule over us, that you'll give them wisdom. We're thankful for the freedom we have to meet here this morning, the opportunities we have. May we invest all of these privileges in a way that will matter for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, is our text for reading the scriptures this morning. If you follow Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, and you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. I want to mention a couple of things as we begin. First of all, I really hope you'll come back to tonight. Tonight is a sermon that I've been working on for about 5 months. And I'll tell you why and so forth. But tonight, I'm really passionate about what we're going to talk about tonight. I look at tonight's message as sort of a framework from which we can look at life and live our lives. It's the message that I'm calling the Glory Road. And I've been meditating on the word glory for several months now. It'll be a little acrostic. It's going to be easy to memorize. G, God created all things for his glory. L, life is meant to be lived, and joy comes when we live for his glory. O, our problem is sin, which is falling short of the glory of God. Our redemption is what God has provided through Christ so that we may now to rescue a people that will live for his glorious purposes. And then why you can now live for the glory of God by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That structure, I think, affects everything about everything for the people of God. And it affects how we do evangelism, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But that's tonight's message. This morning, second thing I need to let you know about is, as you've noticed in your bulletin, there is no outline. So I want you just to listen. There will actually be a full transcript of what you're hearing in the annual report of the church, which is going to be available after the morning service. So if you want to follow up on something you hear, it'll be right there in front of you, as well as a whole bunch more about what God's been doing in the church. This is the yearly in January that we spend time thinking about the church, the state of the church. Sometimes it's in the evening, sometimes we do it in the morning. But we're answering this question this morning: who are we? Who are we? I think no book in the Bible answers that question any clearer than the book of Ephesians. I think no chapter in the Bible answers that any clearer than Ephesians chapter 2. And I think no verse in the Bible answers the question, who are we, any clearer than Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Who are we? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That's who we are. We are God's workmanship. We are God's poema, the Greek word poem. We are His craftsmanship. God is, He's a specialist at making, and He's making something, and that's who we are. God the Father designed this work. God the Son accomplished this work. God the Holy Spirit applies this work to us. That's the message of Ephesians chapter 1. We are the work of the triune God. We are the workmanship. On what basis does He do this work? In Ephesians chapter 2, we find that it's a one-word answer: grace. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ultimately, we are saved by His grace for His glory. That's tonight's message. It's all about the glory of God. But there's another reason that God saves us that's sort of the means to that happening, and that is this morning's message. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 leads into verse 10. For, why did He save us by His grace? For, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So, for begins the verse. This is why God saves us. This is the intent He had in saving us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So this is not our work. This is His work. He has commissioned His Son with the task of accomplishing this work, because the verse says we are created in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we become something that we were not previously. In Christ, we are created. We become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Christ brings into existence something that wasn't there before. That's what creation means. He's done this for us. He has created. He's brought into existence something that was not there before, something called a saved people. His objective for this people that He has saved by His grace, that He's chosen to make His workmanship, through this saved people to accomplish good works. Good works. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Who does the good works? Those God saved. Those who believe in Christ. Jews and Gentiles alike. The church, which is the theme of chapters 2 and 3 in Ephesians. We're His workmanship. That's why we're here. That's what the church is. We are His workmanship, and He has created us to do good works, which He's ordained from eternity past for us to do. Now, that being the case, this is why every year for the last three decades, we have stopped on this Sunday, a Sunday in January, to answer the question: if it's true that God has ordained that this church would be the mechanism, the means through which He would work to accomplish good works to bring glory to Himself, then we ought to be able to stop at any point and look in our rearview mirror and see examples of how He did that. And we ought to be able at any point look ahead and anticipate examples of how He will do that. And we've never had any trouble doing just that. We stop and look back, and to God be the glory, we see all kinds of things He's been doing. And as we look into 2017, we can anticipate things that He's up to, good works for His glory. So this message is not so much a message where you're going to come away with information as it is a message where you're going to come away with exaltation of God for the good works He's done. And we're anticipating that. I hope you'll come away exalting Jesus and being encouraged. And some of us will come away saying, I want to get involved with the good works that He's up to for His glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, as He says there in chapter 3. So, let's look back and let's look ahead. First of all, look back. What are some of the good works He accomplished in this past year? A year ago, in the State of the Church address, we began the year and I reminded us of four initiatives that we had committed ourselves to in 2015. One, to show that we love the lost as Jesus did. That was on our heart for this year again, to do that, to show lost people that we love them. Two, to leave our comfort zones and to meet needs as Jesus did, starting with our brothers and sisters in the church and spilling over into the community. Three, sort of an odd one, but this is what we've been thinking about the last couple of years, to embrace suffering as Jesus did. We are called to enter into the fellowship of His suffering. And four, to give more attention to prayer as Jesus did. This is what was on our heart as we began 2016. This is what we've been asking the Lord to do in and through us this past year. And I believe that there is ample evidence that He's answered those prayers as seen by the good works that we're going to talk about that He's accomplished. Many of the good works happened week after week as God's people used their spiritual gifts and their abilities and time to prepare and teach Sunday school lessons, unlock doors, type bulletins, fix boilers, care for babies in the nursery, set up tables, visit the infirmed, repair computers, upload sermons, count money, fix meals, help children learn Bible verses, gather for prayer. And we could go on and on, not to mention work a job in a God-honoring way, or pay your bills so that the reputation of Christ is enhanced by your reputation, or changing the diapers of the children God has given you, or caring for an elderly parent that you have the privilege to care for. Examples of good works abound in and through God's people, and that's certainly what happened last year. In a sense, there's no way to enumerate all the good works God has accomplished through His people at Wheelersburg Baptist. Week after week, people served and performed good works that helped make Jesus Christ and His glorious gospel known in this community and to the world. God knows who they are, what those good works were, and we want Him to receive all the glory. Having said that, I think it's beneficial to stop and just, okay, what stands out? And what I'm doing is I'm just telling you what stands out from my eyes. And the danger of that is, we didn't talk about this, well, there's so much here, you would give a different state of the church as you think about the good works that stand out to you, and I encourage you to do that with your families and with one another. Let me start with, and there's four main categories of what I see as I look out. Category number one, the good works reflected by the numbers. I think the numbers reflect something rather curious about God's workmanship, which results in praise to Him. We have 174 members at Wheelersburg Baptist. Our Sunday morning attendance in 2016 was 120. We have shut-ins, we have members that are other places in the world and so forth. But our average attendance was 120 Sunday morning, 55 in the evening, 47 on Wednesday evening. Those numbers are actually down slightly from the previous year, which was 127, 60, and 59, due to various factors. Yet, while there were less people in 2016, the Lord used those people to give general fund income of $247,500. To put that in perspective, $247,000 last year was $239,000. 5 years ago was $198,000. Just think about that. The giving 6 years ago was $47,000 less than it was this past year. On top of that, this past year there was $20,000 of special designated giving for things like our missionaries, $6,500, benevolent fund, $3,100, harvest offering, $1,800, which we used to purchase the equipment, towards the equipment that we're using for video live streaming. the Vacation Bible School gift, 282, the Gideon's, 298, a special Christmas love gift to help a brother in Romania get hearing aids. Then on top of that, just in terms of the numbers, our counseling and discipleship ministry took in $3,800. A lot of that's reimbursements, but some of it was special donations to the church because of the effect, that the encouragement this is providing for people. Community center ministry received $4,400 in donations from people in the community that are appreciative of the space that we're providing. So I say it again, the numbers reflect something very curious to me that results in God being praised, I think. Less people, more giving. In light of those numbers, I offer three responses. One, to God be the glory. Two, thank you, church family, for the good works that you're doing in the area of your giving. And three, let's use these resources that we have now to even more strategically think about how can we make the good news known in this community and in this world. Second category, the good works of preaching and teaching God's Word. The pulpit ministry at Wheelersburg Baptist is the ministry of this church as a whole. It's not coincidental that the pulpit is a central piece of furniture in this room, which is the central room. It's what this church revolves around. And for the good work of preaching God's Word to occur, there are a host of other related good works that must occur, and they are occurring. Our ushers, led by Brian Jackson, our head usher, make sure that the building is open. The lights are on. People welcome to this place where they can learn and be transformed by God's Word. Our trustees, led by Dennis DeCamp, the chairman, make sure that people have a place to park, that the chairs are here to sit on, many other things that make this a wonderful place that's conducive to the communication of the Word and learning the Word of God. Our nursery team, now led by Bethany Wilson and Christy Rowland, love those little ones so that parents can be here listening to the Word of God. Our children's church team, led by Michelle Kurtz, provides an opportunity for children, age kindergarten and younger, to learn the Scriptures while their parents are here hearing biblical exposition. Our worship team, led by Scott Bruns, which includes, if you tease that out, song leaders, those playing music, those providing sound and video amplification. Our secretary, Wilma DeCamp, preparing the worship schedule and the bulletin, the sermon handout. All work together to enable us as a congregation to be prepared to hear God speak to us through His Word. Our janitor, Dan Edwards, cleans this room. The children pick up the communion cups. By the way, children, that's your ongoing assignment. Whenever we have communion, pick up those communion cups. We appreciate your part in that. Connie Boggs and others make the communion table attractive with floral arrangements. Our treasurer, Joe Golly, pays the light and heating bills. Aren't we thankful for that? A team of prayer partners meets weekly at 8:15 in my study to intercede for this church and the ministry of the Word. A team of Sunday school teachers provide lessons that build on what's heard here so that people can keep going deeper into the Word in a way that leads to life change. Then on top of all these good works that take place weekly is the fact that each member of this church and others even outside of the church contribute to the good work of preaching as they pray, give, and make the hearing of God's Word priority in their schedules. You may not think that it makes a difference, but actually I know that you do, because I hear feedback from time to time. Your being here contributes to the ministry of the Word. When people come and visit and they see a few people, their thought is, this must not be very important what's happening here. There would be more people here. But when they see people coming with Bibles open, ready to hear, it's like, I don't want to miss what's going on here. So we all can contribute and do, as I look back at the last year, at how the body has engaged in this good work of preaching. It's a joy to open the Scriptures with this congregation. You love the Word and it shows. So those are the backdrop, the extensions of the body that make possible what I have the privilege of doing, and in 2016, this is what we did in the ministry of the Word. Sunday mornings, we began the year with that series on preparing for temptation, Matthew chapter 4, learning from Jesus. We did a two-week series, As God Intended, looking at the first man and the first marriage in Genesis 2, which prepared us to vote on and approve an amendment to our bylaws, which clarifies our commitment to a biblical view of marriage. We spent much of the year, as you'll recall, studying the book of Daniel together, thinking about how to live for God in a secular world, how to be prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Towards the end of the year, I preached the series Pilgrims in Progress, looking at the pilgrims that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 and what we can learn from them. Sunday evenings, we call that our church family service because in it we seek to highlight what is God doing through the ministries and the people of this church. Throughout the year, we heard from various missionaries on Sunday evenings, including Todd and Christy Kincaid, ministering to refugees and the nations in Rome, Italy. They're now our newest supported missionaries. Our own missionary, Gary Storm, spoke. Our missions conference in October had Nahum O'Brien heading to Norway. Steve and Caroline Mann talked to us about reaching postmodern Western Europe. We had Sunday evening growth groups, electives in the spring, and then the church-wide reading of The Pilgrim's Progress by Bunyan in the fall, and discussing it on five Sunday nights. We heard from a panel of our college students in January. We heard from our Scioto Hill summer staff in July one Sunday evening. We gathered at the DeCamps Pavilion for a Labor Day Sunday outdoor service. We worshiped Christ in December with the children's Christmas program. Matt Wilson did a four-part Sunday evening series this past winter from the book of 3 John. I preached three series on Sunday evenings, Counting the Cost in Luke, secondly, Appreciating the Cross, five key words, and then a series on the parables of Jesus, which will take us into 2017 as well. Wednesday evenings, we gathered in this room to do a series on unsung heroes in the Bible. Matt Wilson began doing a series on Bible doctrine, which continues as he's studying and preparing, anticipating ordination perhaps. That's a wonderful series that's been going on here, and he's been growing. We've been growing with him. We've been doing a series in the book of Philippians, which also continues. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." It's the Scriptures that fuel the good works that God intends to accomplish through us for His glory. Why do we gather around the Bible so much at Wheelersburg Baptist? That is why, because this is the book that leads to every good work. As we saw in 2016, it did lead to good works. Let me talk about category number three, good works for this community that we're privileged to live in. Equipped by the Word, our community center team strategized various ways to let our community know that we care about it so as to communicate why we care, which is the gospel. That's the mission statement of this ministry. So they organized pancake breakfasts for the community, tailgate parties, a VBS party with inflatables, and more, all designed to let people know we care about them, to open up conversations. Why do you care about us? And then additionally offered space to community members for baby showers and funeral meals and anniversary parties and birthday parties. Sports teams were fed. The Gideons used our building. The Porter Township Over 55 Club did. The Area Agency on Aging. The County Extension Offices used our building for classes. The Girl Scouts, Lifeline Screening, and others. Using what we have, our community center building, in a way that shows them that we care. And that's just fostering relationships that will continue to blossom, our prayer is, with the sharing of the gospel with people. Another good work that happens every week is the Wednesday evening meal prepared by Don and Connie Boggs and a wonderful team of fellow servants as they provide physical bread to prepare children to receive the bread of life at Kids Club and those who work with them. We continue to seek to show the love of Christ to our community through our counseling ministry. In the past 12 months, our church provided dozens of sessions. I don't even know what the number would be. Dozens of sessions of free biblical counseling for people struggling with marriages, depression, anxiety, all kinds of issues, many of these from outside of our church, as we seek to love our Jerusalem. Our counseling team additionally, Dave Beam is the co-director, continues to train others to do the good work of ministering God's Word to the hurting. In 2016, it was our joy again to provide 30 hours of instruction from the Word of God, helping people know how to use the Word of God to help people who are hurting. And we did that to over 100 people this past year, including our Monday night course here, which is January through March, and our Charleston, West Virginia course, which took place 3 weekends in the spring, and then our fall course, which took place at River Cities Community Church in Huntington. We're thankful that this past year, Tri-State Bible College offered college credit for the training in Huntington for those who are interested in that. Another good work that continues in our community is CRADL. We love CRADL, Pregnancy Care Center, through which we and several of our sister churches show love to those in our community facing difficult challenges. Our sister Melanie Malone began serving in the position of director this year to mobilize a wonderful team of servants, and I don't know the exact number, somewhere around 8, I think, from our church that are involved in that ministry in one capacity or another. It's very important to us. And then there's Scioto Hills Camp and Retreat Center. This is a ministry that's been part of our DNA as a church from the time back in 65 when it first started. This ministry doesn't just touch our community, though it does that, but the whole tri-state region and beyond. Once again, this past summer, we had a wonderful team of approximately 30 summer staffers that worshiped with us. And we had the privilege to be what we call a church away from home for those, as they're here during the summer. We encourage them. We benefit from their energy and enthusiasm for Christ. But it spills over. This brings us to over 600 people who have been staffers at Scioto Hills in the summer in the past years that have been here with us. 600 people we've had the privilege to love and interact with that are serving Christ all over the world now. I think about our sister Kristen Waro that took students from school out to the camp this past year. Just another way that God's using this ministry that we so love. I hope you're encouraged as we consider the good works God has been accomplishing this past year in our community. But we're just scratching the surface. Again, our verse says it well. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, plural. And it's ongoing. You can't even count them. What has God done? More than we can even enumerate. He saves us. He gifts us. He puts us in unique places with unique abilities to do good works that He's ordained for us to do individually and together. And then He gets the glory for it. So we need to be praying for eyes to see the good works He intends to accomplish through us. Category number 4, I just call this good works too many to count. Because I just took out a piece of paper and pen. I just started jotting down just what was coming to my mind. Good works that I could remember from 2016. And if I did it again, it would be a whole different list. But this is just, I thought about the kids bringing bags of rice and beans to VBS to feed hungry children. I thought about the church this year choosing, because God so blessed us financially this past year, let's give this away. So the church sent special Christmas gifts totaling $5,500 to our missionaries, so that as our co-laborers in the ministry of the gospel, they could share in the blessing and be encouraged. And if you haven't walked out the door and gone to the bulletin board, and there's a stack of about however many missionaries, they all have responded to us saying, thank you so much for that gift, and this is what it meant. They're tremendous encouragement, not just our missionaries, but the ministries we support, like Union Mission and the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and on it goes, Cedarville University. I thought about a phone call that I had on a Saturday back the first part of the year when Kevin Allen called me telling me that he invited the soccer team to meet at the church for encouragement after the tragic death of one of their teammates. And he called me because he said I was expecting there to be this group of soccer players, and he said there's over 100 people in the church building right now and I don't know what to do with them. And I said, well, Kevin, I'm in Findlay with my dad. He just had surgery, so I can't be there, but what do you think? And we talked over the phone, and God brought other people from the church too, and a tremendous ministry happened to the student body, and there were staff from the school as well in this place, as Kevin and others loved on those hurting students. I remember the following Monday, Teresa Huddle taking her dog to the school to ease the tension for the grieving student body. By the way, just thinking about that, just good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do. This past Friday, my school that I graduated from, West Liberty Salem in West Central Ohio, had a shooting. A junior walked in, brought a shotgun to the school, and another junior walked into the bathroom and he was there and he shot him twice. The young person that was shot is a believer. His family loves Christ. They went to the same church that my brother and sister-in-law go to, and we've had influence or received input from them about how God has been working in this situation. He's in the hospital in Columbus and will recover. They're encouraged that he's going to recover. He's been in intensive care. He's got all, I forget the number of buckshot that's in his body, but he's going to recover. But the amazing thing is how God is using this to spread the news of Jesus. The young person that shot the other went in and shot into a classroom where my cousin's son was, and he loves Jesus. Praise the Lord. He thought he broke out the window and the students were able to get away from the building. My cousin teaches in that school. She took the students that were in her class and others to her house, which is a quarter of a mile away, and had a couple hundred students at the house. And she said, in fact, I won't read her text, but we just got the text this morning from her. She said, you know, I took my students and took off to get them to safety, and I forgot my cell phone. She said, so I didn't even know about my two kids, which were students at the school, if they were alive or what was happening with them, but I knew my first responsibility was the students in my class, and I got them to safety. And I was just thinking about that in the light of what we're talking about. Good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Some of them we plan, some of them He puts right in front of us. Are we ready to do that which He gives us to do for His glory and the communication of the gospel and the loving on people so they come to love Jesus? Some of the Facebook responses have been how God used, this is just to God's glory, but how God used my cousin to influence those students, and their parents are commenting on that. Good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Continue to pray for that school system. We're thankful that there was no more injury. One of the teachers and one of the janitors were able to get the gun away from the individual, and no further injuries took place that I'm aware of. But good works, too many to count. I remember sitting in the pastor's prayer partner one Sunday morning, and the phone rings, and there's a person on the other end of the line. He says, I'm in Miami, Florida. He said, I just wanted to call and thank your church because what you posted on your website there's an article there on dealing with social anxiety that he said has been so helpful. It's a biblical approach, so different from anything else I've ever heard. It's been so helpful. And that's the article that Dave wrote and has posted. We received at least four $100 money orders, anonymous, from somebody that was blessed by that article. And every month they would send this $100 anonymous. Thank you for that social anxiety paper that is on your website. It's just helped me so much. And I looked on the return for that mailing, and it's up someone in Illinois. We don't know who it is. I think about almost every Wednesday night when we ask for sharing what are the ministry challenges you're facing, and Homer Sperry shares with us about going to the jail every week, ministering the gospel, and asking us here on Wednesday to pray with him that God would work in the hearts of people. I think about our sister Foxetta Hunt going to the homes of our elderly to encourage them. Becky Goodman doing the same. I think, and again, I could go almost through the whole congregation, but some of these, that's just what stood out when I was writing down the list. I thought about a conversation with Hank Purtis, sharing about some needs that he observed when he was visiting in the homes. I thought about Richard and Faye Jackson doing the same after going to one of the care facilities. It just goes on. I thought about Katie Griffith coming on Fridays to help Wilma fold the church bulletins because the job needed to be done. I thought about a team of men starting a safety committee to think of ways to provide a safe environment when we meet in this building for our services. I think of the little boy that helped me by rolling the coins from my stamp drawer. I think about going to the courthouse to see Joey and Elaine Uhl adopt Aiden and Amira. What a day that was. What a good work, series of good works that was the culmination of. I think about having a shut-in when I was visiting, telling me that a college-age person had been helping her with projects at home, and what a blessing that was. And I never even heard that was happening until she told me that. I thought about the Storms making two trips to Slovakia to encourage believers there. I thought about seeing Ralph and Karen Wilcox and driving the church van to pick up kids on Wednesday nights to Kids Club this fall. And now using the excuse of a shoulder that's in a sling to not be able to drive. No, glad to have him back after his surgery. I must stop, but please know that the good works didn't stop. And God saw every one of them. Indeed, He ordained them from eternity past, and He privileged us to do them as a church family and individually for His glory. And He is not finished, which means it's time to look ahead. This is what He's done. What are the good works that He has in store as we go into the next year? When I look at the horizon in 2017, I think about the following. I think, first of all, we need to talk about some distinctives that we have as a church. There are some distinctives that make us, I think, who we are. Every church has its own personality. This is who we are. God has worked some things into the fabric of this local church. These are ours from my perspective. Our passion, our theology, our approach to methodology, our involvement in strategic area-wide ministries, and our commitment to being a church, not just going to a church. Let me mention those and develop them just briefly. Our passion. We are committed as a church to expository preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's who we're. We exalt in placing ourselves under this book. We spend a lot of time doing it. Why? Because we want just academic information? No. We place ourselves in and under this book so that we might exalt the God who gave us this book. That we might leave here with a knowledge of Him that is fueled more meaningfully so that then we can go out and live for Him with our lives. It affects everything. We're under His Word, exalting the One who gave it to us. That's our passion. Our theology is that we're committed to a reformed view of salvation with a baptistic approach to church polity, which means we have a high view of God. We're not into gimmicks. We're not into doing things just to get crowds. We have a high view of God, knowing that He's chosen a people, but He's privileged us to be a part of ministering the gospel to bring people into the relationship that Christ offers us. That's who we are. Our theology drives everything we do. Our approach to methodology, we seek to use ministries that are God-centered rather than man-centered. Ministries that are biblically based rather than pragmatic. Our goal is not simply to get a crowd to come. There's so many ways you can do that. Our goal is to make disciples of Jesus. That's what drives us and how we do our ministry. Our involvement in strategic area-wide ministries is a distinctive for us, which includes biblical counseling, the biblical counseling training, our involvement with Scioto Hills, our involvement with Cradle. We are privileged, and I don't know that we talk about this very much, but we are privileged to be, for lack of a better word, a regional church. God has blessed us with connections, and in my mind, I see this as we have the privilege to wash the feet of the local churches in this tri-state area. And that's what we try to do, and that's a distinctive for us. And there's a lot of factors that go into why we have that privilege, but we do, and we value that, and we try to build on that and what we're anticipating. And then the last one is just our commitment to being a church and not just going to church. A lot of places, that's what you do. You go to church and you go home Sunday morning. That's not who we are. That's why we have everything from deacon care groups to fellowship dinners to men's retreats. We're seeking to do life together. Christ has given us the church not as a place where we go once a week to hear something. Church is the body with which we do life for Him, and it's 24/7. And so we're constantly thinking, how can we do that? We seek to be, not just go. So as we consider those distinctives, think about then some good works that I think just flow right out of that as we head into the new year. Number one, as always, the preaching and teaching of God's Word that results in people being saved and edified so that we know and resemble Christ more will continue. That's our passion. We're looking forward to what the shepherd has to say to us from His Word. Secondly, and this is, I'm excited about this. I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go. We want to develop more preachers of the gospel at Wheelersburg Baptist. I went to Romania this past year, as you know, and on a Sunday, or 2 years ago, was that this event happened. In the Sunday evening service in that Romanian church, before the pastor got up to give the message, there was in that service, I think, one person that got up and gave like a 10-minute message. And I asked the pastor, what's this all about? And he said, oh, we have men in our church that are interested in preaching, and we're giving them opportunities to do that. I thought, that's really... So that's just... I've been thinking about that. And so here's what I want to do this year. I went through our directory and prayerfully considered, and there are several men, and I'm asking you men to think about this, men that God has given a life that points people to Jesus, given a knowledge of the Bible that is solid, that maybe He wants now to use you to become a proclaimer of this truth in a way you've never done it. So what I want to do is I want to meet with those men, and I'll tell you more about it as this unfolds, but I want to meet with those men four times. We're going to read the book Preaching with Purpose by Jay Adams together, talk about how to craft a message, and then what we're going to do this year is we're going to, on Sunday evenings, work through the book of Colossians, and these men will each take one or two verses, maybe three, and they will develop a 10-minute message. And I'll help them do that. And we're going to, so one person will get up, and I'm envisioning on a Sunday evening, we'll have three different men do 10-minute message. We will benefit as a church as we learn the book of Colossians together and exalt in Christ. And we'll have the opportunity with these men who are humbling themselves to give them feedback. Which ones do we see that God has gifted and is perhaps even calling for the ministry of proclaiming the gospel, that we might continue to wash the feet of the churches in this area who, when they need pulpit supply, where do they go? We want to see the expository ministry of the Word spread into this community. And I ask you to be praying about that. The next thing is what we've already been doing, the start of the service with, is memorizing a passage of Scripture together every month. I want us to get the Word in us more and more, and we're going to be working on that again this year as we have in the past. It's been a few years. The next is looking for new ways to see beyond ourselves in order to share why we're doing it, which is the gospel. So, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, I gave the deacon care groups on a Sunday night a $50 bill and said, your job is to spend this on someone out in the community to let them know how much we love them and how we as a church care for the people in this community. And we're looking forward to hearing testimonies of how God used those kind deeds at our next communion in February. We're envisioning using new technology to minister the Word beyond these four walls. This video live stream equipment, it's already installed. They're already tweaking it now, which means that someone that's sick or just can't be here, whether they're in Ashley Corner or Albania, could be watching what's happening when the Word of God is being proclaimed here. It's being used, could be, it's already being worked on for the Monday evening training as well. We also want to keep growing in our ability to exalt and enjoy God in our congregational singing. I mean, it's not a secret. We're trying to, our singing on Sundays should be, as we place ourselves under the Word, it's the spillover. I mean, God speaks to us through His Word. We have the privilege now to exalt this one. We want to grow to do that more joyfully, in a more coordinated way. I met with Scott Bruns, who's the director of our worship teams and worship team, and it's apparent to us we don't have a person, we have several that God has gifted, four or five that are gifted to be able to do that, and no one could be here any one time. I mean, we think God wants to use the diversity of the gifts to help us in this area. But the challenge has been when we do that, there seems to be a lack of continuity week to week. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing is the fourth or the last Wednesday of each month, those who are interested in participating in our singing, worship, whatever, from technology people to those that are up front, to the musicians, they'll be meeting in, I'll be meeting with them and Scott to talk about what are we planning to do in the upcoming month to work together to accomplish. This is the goal. The goal of our corporate singing at WBC is to see the church singing Christ-centered, theologically sound, very singable songs that are sung joyfully with united participation by all. And we believe this is going to be a wonderful year for us to just grow to be even more effective in that area. I want us to ask ourselves a question as we sort of wrap this up now. The question is for you. What are the good works that you see as you look to the horizon in 2017? What are the good works that you see that God wants to accomplish in and through you as an individual? Start there. Just think about that for a moment. What do you see? What thrills you when you think about this church and the ministry of it, how God might use you? Then secondly, I want you to think about others that you know in the body. What are ministries that you could see someone else doing with the gifts God's entrusted to them? And what I would urge you to do is to pray about that and go and be an encouragement to that person. Not to say that you're the Holy Spirit and this is what God wants them to do, but to say, I just want you to know that as I've been thinking about you, I believe that you could do this ministry if that's what God wanted you to do. Encourage one another with giving that kind of feedback. I believe that this church is filled with people of which Ephesians 2:10 is true. That God, you're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has ordained for us to do together. Now, that being the case, I want us to make this personal by thinking of this. To experience the joy of God glorifying good works in 2017, what needs to happen? Let's bring this down. Let's land the plane. Let's talk frankly about what needs to happen. Five things. And they're simple. They're short. Let's just talk. Number one, to experience this joy of God glorifying good works in 2017, number one, make sure you're in Christ. The verse is very clear. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. If you're not in Christ, you can't do the good works that will result in glory to God. You may be here this morning and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. In Christ, what's that mean? What it means, the Bible tells us this, the truth that all of us enter into this world in Adam. That means we've inherited from Adam a sin nature. That's why we go away from God. We live like this is our world. We break God's word. It maybe bothers us, but we can't stop doing it. We are in Adam. The only hope for sinners is to become in Christ. That is, to say, I can't please you, God. My life keeps messing up. But I come to you because you've provided someone, your own precious Son, to rescue me so that I can now be right with you. I receive your Son, Jesus, the one who died on the cross for my sins. I receive him as my Savior because you've raised him from the dead. He's a living Savior, and he's now my Savior. I put my trust in him. When, by God's grace, that happens, you move from being in Adam to being in Christ. Some of you, that's what needs to happen this year. It needs to happen today. To say, yes, I'm not in Christ, but I want to be. I need to be. Call upon the living God. Number two, make sure you're in the church. In Christ, in the church. Ephesians chapters 2 and 3 specify this very carefully. It's all about the wonderful identity of the church. The good works we've been talking about in Ephesians 2:10 are not to be done by people by themselves. They're to be done in connection with the body of Christ. In fact, Paul goes so far as to say it this way in a verse that just has amazed me every time I think about the order that he uses in Ephesians 3 when he says, verse 20, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Why in the world would he even put church there? Doesn't God get glory in Christ, in our relationship to Christ? And indeed he does, but it's in the church that we get to know Christ. It's in the church that we get to become more like Christ. It's in the church that we have the kind of accountability and relationships where we can serve Christ. And God accomplishes good works through the church to the glory of Christ. So make sure you're in the church. That doesn't mean, and you sort of know this from what I said earlier, that doesn't mean be in the church on Sunday morning. That means be plugged into the life 24/7 of the church. Does that mean you should be here every time the doors are open? No, it doesn't. There may be times when the head of the church wants you to be somewhere else doing ministry for him. Might be caring for your child at home, if that's what needs to happen at that time. But the, shall we say, the default is we do life together. I mean, when there's services, we don't just have services because we're trying to figure out how to keep people busy. We're trying to think about how can we accomplish this goal of good works that result in the praise of Jesus Christ with what he's entrusted to us as the people that he has saved. And we believe that what's happening with Sunday school all the way through Wednesday night is a package that works to that end. And for some of you, I want to challenge you to think about church this year, not just being Sunday morning, but being the life that I just described. Thirdly, this is very important too, pray before you do. Pray before you do. Before attempting to do a good work, pray. I have something specific in mind here. To do a good work means you must choose to not do other works. Now think about that. You've only got so much time. I've only got so much time in my life. That means if I'm going to do the good work that God has before ordained that I should do for his glory, then constantly, every day, I'm going to have to say no to this, no to that, and no to that, so that I have time on my hands to be able to do that which he ordains for me to do. Let's just be honest. All of us are filled with distractions in this world. That's the word that always comes to my mind when I think about the Christian life in the United States of America. Distractions. Distractions that keep us away from doing the good works that God intends to accomplish through us. They're not bad things. They're just not tending towards the good work that he wants to accomplish. So what I'm saying is before we do anything this year, pray. Before you do, pray. Lord, is this how you want me to spend this next hour? Is this how you want me to spend this day? Four, get in the Word, then do what you enjoy. Get in the Word, and then do what you enjoy. This is what I love. Because when I'm in the Word begins to shape my values. It shapes my heart. It shows me what pleases God. So if I'm viewing my life from the lens of the Word of God, then I will choose what pleases him. So around here, we don't guilt trip. I don't know if what I just did was a guilt trip. I don't mean it to be. I'm just talking about, honestly, when we're in the Word, I want you to do what you want to do, because God will give you the desire to do what He wants you to do when you're in His Word. That's just the way it works. He raises up people to do ministries. He burdens people to go do... As we're in the Word, do what you enjoy. So make sure you're in Christ. Make sure you're in the church. Pray before you do. Get in the Word, then do what you enjoy. And then number five, give all the glory to God. These three questions help us do that from 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you've received it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? All that we have has come from Him. Time, health, experiences, gifts, relationships. We have it. And He says, okay, it's all from Me. Now use it for the good works for which I've ordained you to accomplish individually and as a church family. Amen. Let's bow before the Lord.